This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. On Friday, USDA published its final environmental impact statement, concluding Monsanto's Roundup Ready 2 Xtend soybeans should be fully deregulated. Before reaching its decision, USDA considered nearly 5,000 comments submitted by farmers, academic and scientific experts, and other key stakeholders. A majority of those who provided feedback during the public comment period voiced support for the trait technology. PEDV is usually expected to be a bigger issue during the winter months. New cases are being reported, but Pork Checkoff Vice President of Science and Technology, Dr. Paul Sundberg, describes the situation as very quiet.
It very well may be that people are more aware. I'm sure of that. And there very well may be, and I'm confident, that they have implemented increased biosecurity and people have looked at their biosecurity and worked on that. I'm confident of that. The other thing, though, that's gone on is the way that virus went through our swine herds, including the sow herds last winter, probably has given those pigs some level of latent protection, some level of immunity. And that's probably helping us keep this thing down to a lower level this year.
The virus is still a problem. If the U.S. swine industry can get through this winter with a lower incidence level, Sundberg says the attention will focus on immunity levels next summer and fall. Will PEDV become an ongoing problem, or could it be eradicated? Sundberg says eradication would be a major undertaking.
But it's probably really too early to tell just exactly how hard that would be. I know that we've been saying that for quite a while. Even last summer, we said, well, it's a little too early to say how severe this is going to be. And then last winter, we said it's a little too early to figure out just exactly how bad it is. And this summer, we said, well, let's wait until this winter because it's a little too early now, and we'll wait until winter and see what happens. But I think we've got to do that at least one more time and say that the level of immunity that's out in our sow herds right now might be affecting this virus, and that's a good thing. We're glad to see that. But the real deal is going to be what happens when that immunity wanes in the sow herd, that natural immunity from infection, when that wanes in the sow herd. Then we'll see if our biosecurity procedures, implementing those for producers, getting to that level of work on each individual farm is going to enable us to actually get rid of this virus.
Pork Checkoff Vice President of Science and Technology, Dr. Paul Sundberg. The final deadline to sign up for USDA's Dairy Margin Protection Program is Friday, December 19th. The program basically allows producers to set a floor price for milk and a ceiling for feed prices. University of Missouri Extension economist Joe Horner says producers who have ignored the program for 2015 may want to reconsider.
Futures markets on dairy for 2015 have been sliding for the last 30 days. And the situation now where the margin protection program looks a lot more attractive than it may have been 60 days ago.
Horner says producers who signed up earlier this year can still make changes before December 19th.
2 or 3 months ago, it looked like it made the most sense to buy the low-cost floor. Now, as market prices come down, the best payback on the insurance program is going to come for those producers who are willing to buy a little higher level of floor price.
To sign up or change coverage for the Dairy Margin Protection Program, you can visit your local Farm Service Agency office. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this. There's been some speculation on what approach Governor-elect Bruce Rauner will take to some different issues, including transportation funding. I spoke with President of the Midwest Truckers Association, Don Schaefer, for some insights.
Governor-elect Rauner, of course, he takes office in, a month from today. And Governor Rauner has got a lot of transition people working, looking at a lot of issues, looking at a lot of ideas. One of the big issues, of course, which has been an issue that has never gone away, is transportation funding, infrastructure funding. When I say infrastructure, I just don't mean roads and bridges. We also talk about how do we deal with waterways. We talk about rail and actually how all these work together to move goods and services in Illinois. You know, transportation is the backbone, really, of the Illinois economy. Agriculture depends on it heavily. You name the business. They need a good infrastructure to be able to move everything. And we have kind of, on both the federal and state level, kind of let it lag no one really seems to have the political willpower or the will, I should say, to look at the funding issue. You know, the bottom line is we have not increased funding for transportation in 20 years. Congress hasn't done it on the federal level. Illinois General Assembly hasn't done it on the state level. So as a result, we still have, we still have a relatively low motor fuel tax. We do in Illinois. And that motor fuel tax hasn't changed 20 years. And as a result, the amount of money that's coming in has pretty much stayed the same because cars are getting better fuel mileage. There may be more cars on the road, but they get better mileage. Thus, they burn less fuel. So we've got to come up with some sort of a situation or some sort of a plan that we can adequately fund, at least keep the bridges from falling apart, you know, keep the pavement from falling apart. And then, you know, so we don't have these issues either on, you know, on the interstate, on state highways, on local roads. There's been a lot of look, a lot of discussion going on right now about, you know, what's going to happen in the future. You know, the governor's going to have to be the one to kind of lead the charge on this and then to get the legislature to buy in on it. Yeah, there's a lot of talk about a motor fuel tax increase. There's also talk about a tax on, you know, alternative fuel vehicles that don't pay a motor fuel tax. You know, you got electric vehicles out there. You got vehicles running on natural gas, those types of things. You know, they pretty much put as much wear and tear on the roadways as anybody else. So we got to deal with how we're going to put them on the par with everyone who pays in a motor fuel tax. There's also talk about, you know, a lot of money that's collected on the motor fuel tax goes into the general funds. It's never used for transportation purposes. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. And a lot of discussion about, hey, how do we get some of that money back and put it where it belongs, put it back into the road funds? And then also there's been some talk about alternative forms of taxation. One that probably doesn't sit too well downstate Illinois is a thing called the vehicle mile tax. That basically is a tax that would be imposed on a vehicle for every mile it travels, and then you pay a tax. And you know that is one that a few groups are pushing. It has not been received well, because in fact a VMT on a state level just doesn't work, because you can't capture vehicles out of state, you can't capture trucks going through the state. What happens to a car that, an Illinois car that travels out of state, you know, all sorts of things. I mean, that you just cannot effectively work a vehicle mile tax on a statewide basis. It may work nationally, but it's not going to work on a state basis.
And it would definitely be unfair to those who live in rural areas as opposed to a large city.
Well, you would basically say, okay, I live here, you know, in Macoupin, Montgomery County, Sangamon County, what have you, and I may have to drive 20, 30, 40 miles a day to work. I may have to drive, you know, 10, 12 miles to school. I mean, that's not uncommon in this part of the state. It's not uncommon for someone to drive 45, 50 miles to work. They may work down in the Metro East area. They may work in Springfield. They may work at the hospital, state government, what have you. So you would be taxed then based on the total number of miles you drive. That's kind of a hard sell downstate when, you know, maybe people in Chicago, number one, they don't have a car. They take mass transit. They may, you know, they may drive 2 to 3 miles, you know, a week, you know, to go to the grocery store. Or they may travel, you know, they may travel a lot less than we do downstate, because downstate inherently, number one, we don't have mass transit. Number two, we're spread out. I mean, we have to travel. We have to drive to get to certain places, to go to the grocery store, school, see the doctor, what have you. So it's entirely different. But, you know, it would effectively penalize the, you know, those people outside of the Chicago area. And you know, when you pay your motor fuel tax anyway, part of that goes to subsidize mass transit. So you can see what the feeling would be downstaters knowing that they would be paying a VMT to help subsidize mass transit in Chicago. And in the Chicago area, they pay very little VMT because they don't drive a vehicle. So that's a tough sell.
I'm sure there would be many calling their representatives.
You know, VMT is one. I mean, if you looked at a VMT, though, and you say, okay, we're going to do away with the motor fuel tax and use a VMT instead, you know, and you do it on a national level, that may be a valid situation. It's a lot more fair. But for groups to come back and say, we're going to put a VMT in place just for the state of Illinois, We don't see how it can work. You know, other states have tried to do this. Oregon has tried to do it. They can't get their program off the ground. California has looked at it, and that's about it. They've looked at it for, I think, 7 years now, and they haven't figured out a way to do it. The upfront cost to put it together, the administrative cost for a state to do it are just, it's off the walls. So you're going to hear a lot more about VMT, vehicle mile tax. You're going to hear that as a people are going to come back and say, well, this is a more fair and equitable way to raise money for transportation. But don't let them fool you that it may be a good issue to deal with when it's equitable on a national level, but it's no way is it equitable. And it's impossible to put together on a state level. It just doesn't work.
And I think that is another thing to remember is that you have to put the infrastructure in place for doing a VMT where we already have it done for a motor fuel tax.
Exactly. That's 100% correct. The fact is that we have the mechanism in place. And until the federal government decides how we're going to institute a national tax or some sort of other funding mechanism, then, you know, for the state to try to do it, it just doesn't work.
Again, that was President of the Midwest Truckers Association, Don Schaefer. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.